Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, this is BJ. Thanks for listening to our show's podcast. If you're a fan of all things geeky, you should check out my other podcast, BJ Shea's Geek Nation. We have new episodes every day, and you can check it out at bjgeeknation.com.
Your home is going into foreclosure, and you feel like a financial wreck. You don't know where to turn for accurate information. I'm bankruptcy attorney Travis Gagne. Let's talk about some legal options. If we work quickly, we can propose a plan to save your home, modify the loan, or in many cases, even eliminate your second mortgage. The consultation is free. I've helped hundreds of people just like you make informed decisions about whether to save their home or exit it on a reasonable, organized timeline. The chapter you choose sets the tone for the next chapter of your life. Please contact me today at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. And I know you like us, and you want to take us where you go, you know, because you have fun times in life. So take
maybe
us.
Maybe you don't like us, and you just feel better about yourself by listening to us.
Either way, the motivation to have us with you, I don't care what it is, just have us with you. And you can do it with the Radio.com app. That's right. If you got a smartphone, Radio.com. If you got a computer, just go to Radio.com itself, and you can listen to us whether you want to feel better or worse about yourselves. Go to Radio.com.
Let's play Beat Migs.
It's time to play the game.
Yeah.
So everybody scream his name. Beat Migs. Don't be a loser.
Whoa.
Beat Migs. You're a loser.
It is time to beat Migs. And it's time to turn down more tequila.
Charge up for what?
Feels like tequila. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if we're supposed to see some sun or if it's a sunbreaky day. I don't know, but it started off gloomy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Tuesdays usually suck anyway.
Okay, then.
So, maybe, you know what, I'm going to turn it on its head, and it's like, maybe have something to look forward to on this Tuesday to get those spirits up.
Well, checking our weather guy, which is Siri, weather at around 4 p.m. we might see a little sun, otherwise it's cloudy.
Wow. So at 4 p.m. you have that to look forward to.
Set your timer and go outside.
Yeah,
great.
Maybe get a little bit of sun.
All right, well,
to get those sads away.
That's something.
Yeah, right.
Okay, fine.
Whatever. Let's get to our contestant today. We've got Ivor in Tacoma. Ivor, are you there?
I'm here. What's up, guys?
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, Steve, get out of here.
All right.
For those playing at home,
there it is.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
I had to do it for Ivor.
For those playing at home, Ivor will have 60 seconds to answer 10 questions. Ivor, you can pass all you want, but you will only get 3 guesses per question. You ready?
Ready.
If there are 128 fluid ounces in 1 gallon, how many ounces are there in 2 gallons?
Ooh.
356.
No.
That's...
Cher had the late 80s hit song, If I Could What?
If I Could...
Pass me?
Rule the World.
No. Oh,
nope.
If I Could Fly.
No.
Nope. If I Could Love.
No. Who wrote the novel 1984?
Ooh.
Stephen King.
No.
John Gresham.
No.
These are good guesses.
Yeah.
What is singer Meatloaf's actual first name?
Ooh.
Rufus.
No.
It should be. It really should be.
Terry.
No.
Bad.
What board game was invented by Charles B. Darrow during the Great Depression?
Monopoly.
Yes. Woo! Taylor Hicks won the 5th season of what reality show?
Idol. American Idol.
Yes. Bjorn Borg is a well-known Swedish professional at what sport?
Water polo.
No. Oh, kind of close there. Yeah. Two correct, Ivor. Oh. You dropped a deuce, buddy.
Ah, deuce in it.
Yeah,
drop
well.
That deuce.
And some harder questions.
Yeah, that was and out of his demo.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, that's the
type. Yeah, way out.
Yeah. I felt badly. I was hoping there would be something to balance it out, but you didn't get to those.
And, you know, maybe these are out of Steve's wheelhouse, and maybe he won't do well.
I think Steve is closer to the demo of these questions than, unfortunately, Ivor was. Yeah.
Well, Steve?
I am the demo god.
Yeah. What? You do it, Mr. Demo God.
Chris Jericho.
Oh.
He brags about winning in the demos for ratings.
Oh, does he really?
Right now against the WWE because he's in AEW, so he refers to himself as the Demo God.
Oh, I like that because you got a demigod, Demo God.
Yeah.
He's quite clever, that Chris Jericho.
Does he pop that bubbly?
Yes. Pop a little bit of that bubbly.
Are you ready?
Oh, yeah!
If there are 128 fluid ounces in 1 gallon, how many ounces are there in 2 gallons?
256.
Yes! Cher had the late 80s hit song, If I Could What?
Turn Back Time.
Wow, yes. Who wrote the novel?
Find My Way.
Who wrote the novel 1984?
John Grisham.
No.
Orville Redenbacher.
No.
Ooh.
The popcorn guy.
I know it. James Orville.
No.
Oh, you were close, though.
So close.
Yeah. John Orville?
No.
There's no Orville.
What is singer Meatloaf's actual first name?
Meat.
No.
Well?
Michael.
Yes. What board game was invented by Charles B. Darrow during the Great Depression?
Monopoly.
Yes. Taylor Hicks won the 5th season of what reality show?
Survivor.
No.
American Idol.
Yes. Bjorn Borg was a well-known Swedish professional at what sport?
IKEA.
No.
crap, tennis.
Yes. Who did Michael Jackson marry in May of 1994?
Lisa Marie Presley.
Yes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yep, better in your wheelhouse. You win 7-2.
Sorry, Woo. Ivor.
Sorry, buddy.
And there goes.
And he's
out. That's true.
Yep.
7-2. He dropped a deuce.
Yeah, he did. Also a terrible hand in poker.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Who wrote the novel in the novel 1984? You were super close.
Yeah.
I could see it, but I can't.
Yeah. If you would have just said like Orwell,
yeah,
I would have given it to you.
Orwell Wells?
No.
No. See, that's why I said maybe James. You shouldn't give it to him without the full name.
Yeah, I guess not.
James?
No. Georgie. It was Georgie.
George Orwell.
George Orwell.
Yes. Which you almost got kind of mixed up with Orson Welles as well, it seems like, as well. So
I remember being a kid and we were like told to read that book. Clearly, I didn't. But I thought it was going to be about Van Halen. And I was all excited.
Oh, clearly it was not.
It's nothing to do with Van Halen's record, 1984.
Nope.
No. That was the only one you missed, so congratulations on your win.
Good job, Steve.
Thank you.
That's right. All right. So, scary movies, really not my favorite genre.
Rev?
Kind of like
Rev
movies.
You like American Horror Story and...
Yeah, I like the more ghost stories than I do gore necessarily, but...
Okay. Yeah. I'm not a gore fan myself, and I'm not a ghost fan myself either, which is weird because, you know, I like fantasy, like, you know, the old dragons and stuff, and I like science fiction, so why not ghosts? But for some reason, it doesn't hit me.
I, growing up, did enjoy, like, the classics, like, you know, Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, Halloween a little bit, but Child's Play was my jam.
Oh, hell yeah,
I
Chucky.
Love Child's Play.
Yeah, then it kind of became more goofy, just like Friday the 13th and Child's Play were like my two favorites. Then when I got older, honestly, the only horror film that really stuck with me was Saw.
Oh, nice.
I love that one.
The first one.
Yeah.
The first two
were amazing.
The second one was amazing just because of the needle pit.
Oh, the needle pit was like they just started the movie and it's F you.
Yeah, it's like the worst best thing ever.
Yeah, you're right. The second one was very good, but the first one was like kind of like a cool indie vibe to it.
Oh, yeah, totally, because it was.
Yeah.
And I liked the first date I went on, one of the first dates I went on with my wife was to go see Paranormal Activity.
Oh, so
ooh.
In a full packed theater, which I never do that again.
Yeah.
But it was so great.
See, and I'm the opposite of Steve. I don't really care for the originals of all those. I like the remakes. Like, I like Rob Zombie's Halloween way more than I liked the original.
You're not the only one, actually. A lot of people do.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's, and I think it's just because the special effects from the, you know, 80s, 70s, they just didn't do anything for me. Yeah. Whereas, like, now, when I was seeing them in high school, those ones were the ones that scared me.
And I think I like Jason more than them all because he had a hockey mask on. I really think that, like, it was a stupid reason, but that was part of the reason why I liked it.
Yeah, well, you know, he like what you like.
Yeah, he's like, oh, you're a goalie too. Yeah.
Man, if Jason would have been named Steve.
Oh, forget it. I'd have a giant Jason tattoo. Well, it wouldn't be Jason then.
Yeah, it'd be Steve. Yeah.
I'd have a giant Steve tattoo on my back.
That'd be great. Well, you know, when you see these movies, of course, there's always a question like, you know, like, are they scary? Vicky does not like to watch scary movies. And now science has finally gotten involved so that Vicky can know the movies to avoid. They actually said, what is the scariest movie of all time? By using science.
The Human Centipede.
Part 2. That's the most disgusting movie of all time. So that what they did is they measured heartbeats per minute.
Ooh.
That's how they knew a movie was scary with HPP. And so I don't know if you'll ever guess.
HPP?
I don't know if you guys had ever guessed the scariest movies of all time, because I'm not sure I even know the top two movies, which are actually tied. They're tied because they have 86 beats per minute they recorded on people watching these movies.
What's the horror film that the Key and Peele guy made?
Oh, that was Get Out.
Get Out.
Not in the top 10. That was disturbing. It wasn't like super. It had its scary moments.
I'm just guessing. I haven't seen it. I just know people talk about it. I want to see it. I heard it's good.
It's really good.
Yeah, it is good, man. If anything, there's a good social message in there, which is always wonderful when you have a movie to be able to help people sort of get a little empathy. But it's not super scary to give me 86 beats per minute. Yeah.
Honestly, the one, and Rev already said it, Paranormal Activity for me.
Number 5, it gives you 82 beats per minute. So there are 4 movies that are actually higher.
Jojo Rabbit.
Jojo Rabbit, that scared you?
Yeah, it scared me to think that was a good idea to watch.
Oh.
By BJ. No?
All right, you continue to put down Jojo Rabbit. You're just going to basically widen the chasm between people that know good movies and you.
That's pretty much why I do it.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Have you guys heard of the movie Sinister or the movie Insidious?
I've heard of them both, but I haven't seen either of them.
I've heard of Insidious. I never heard of Sinister.
I never heard of either one, and they're tied for 86 beats per minute. But Sinister they basically get the top spot. This is the Ethan Hawke movie, Sinister, he plays a true crime writer who moves into a house where a family was murdered, and then, of course, stuff starts happening. Came out 8 years ago.
Hmm.
And
I should try and watch it this weekend with my wife.
You should.
Yeah. Sinister basically kept your heart beating at a higher rate longer than Insidious, but Insidious did have the biggest jump scare, but they both are 86 beats per minute. That's the highest they achieved in the movie, which is why they're tied.
I haven't watched a lot of horror movies, but any horror movie I have seen, I've been forced to watch, so the scariest one, I think, for me was Hostel.
Hostel, not in the top 10 for making your heart beat.
See, that wasn't really scary. It was just gore porn.
Super gore.
It was both. It was scary because it felt like it could happen.
Yeah. Yeah, don't go to Eastern Europe.
Yeah.
Ever.
Well, like, it also had hot ladies in it, Steve.
And that's what I always loved about the Friday the 13th movies. It had like a good solid sex scene before he murdered people.
Yes. Exactly. That's what you need in a horror movie.
Like, I get to see some boobs before I get freaked out.
Nice.
It's always nice.
Yeah.
Jason was a giver.
They don't do that anymore, do they?
Seriously, we need to check out the newer Child's Play. I absolutely do. I heard it was really good.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot that was out.
These are movies I got to watch without my wife. Because there's not a chance in hell she's going to want to watch these. So it's trying to find that. I'll watch it with Tatum. I bet she'll love it.
Oh, she will. Yeah, no doubt about it. She'll dig
it.
It
worked for me. I watched Nightmare on Elm Street 1 and 2 when I was like 5 years old. And look at me.
Look at you.
Right.
Nothing wrong with you. Not
perfectly normal, well-adjusted.
What about Blair Witch?
That was so good.
That was very suspenseful, so I felt like your heart was racing the whole time.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting because I thought of Blair Witch 2. I'm looking on this list. It didn't make the top 10. Or the top 20, excuse me, didn't make it. And I'm surprised because Paranormal Activity was similar as far as like it was like in real time.
Found footage, sort of thing, yeah.
Yeah.
What about The Ring?
The Ring, yes. The Ring was wicked scary, and it is tied for number 9 at 79 beats per minute.
Oh, I saw that one. Sweet. I have one on the list.
Yeah. The Descent, The Visit, and The Ring all tied at number 9.
The Visit.
What the hell is The Visit?
It's like this story about where these kids go or get adopted by people.
Oh, is their grandparents or something like that?
Yeah,
the grandparents
go visit their
are
parents.
Like weird and creepy, and then suddenly you realize there's more to it.
Yeah.
And Saw, we talked about Saw, not on the list.
I'm actually surprised.
Not for heartbeats per minute, you know. And all the classics you brought up, Steve, like we got the Halloweens, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Also, The Exorcist. I mean, for The Exorcist, it's great that it's still up there. It's number 14 in the tie with 77 beats per minute.
I've never seen The Exorcist except for the scene.
Really?
The one scene that everyone talks about.
With the
like the exorcism the head's going on, the head spinning, and she's spitting out like green pea soup.
The crab walk scene.
Yeah.
That's why The Ring was weird, because when you have somebody walking weird,
which walks out of the screen.
And just have that sort of like, they don't look like a human. There's a character on The Flash. I don't know what the hell his name is, but he walks like that, and he's a villain, and he can squeeze into places, and he freaks Sarah out every time. I can't remember his name, but he has that similar, you know, crab walking look kind of guy. Marionette or Puppet Man or some damn thing. I forget what he's called, or Scare Bones. I don't know. So.
Scarebone. Oh, Get Out was number 34. I'm looking at the list.
Oh, so it is on the list.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Texas Chainsaw Massacre, 28 Days Later. That was the infection one.
Yeah, that
with
was
Cillian Murphy, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Who would believe a movie like that would ever happen?
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, right.
I know. The Conjuring, number 3. Hereditary, number 4 at 83 beats per minute as far as like the scariest movies decided by science based on how much your heart beats watching the movie. So you got that. Paranormal we talked about.
I do like that they count the highest spike. I think that's interesting.
Yeah.
You know, when like something like really gets you.
Oh,
that's always like, it's always the buildup. It's like that, like, when's it going to happen? I hated going. It was fun, but I also hated it going to see a horror movie in a theater. Because it was just like people were freaking out before it even got to the freak out part. It's like, man.
Is Alien
You're like
on
a premature screamer.
Oh, yeah, they know what's coming. Is Alien on that list with that stupid cat and that jump scare?
Oh, it should be. Well, yeah. I think that was Alien.
Alien 24.
Yeah,
that's it.
Alien, the chestburster scene, was fantastic for jump scares.
Yeah, that was a beat.
Like, they didn't even let the cast know what was going to happen, so all those reactions are real.
Really?
Yes.
That's kind of fun.
I love it.
See, I love that when they do stuff like that. You know, you got to be careful.
I mean, you're traumatizing your cast.
Well, they don't. you can't do that anymore because I forget what show we had a story about it. But some cast is suing a company because they were put in a situation where the cops were called because they were doing a break-in.
Yep.
For the movie, and the cops were called, but the cops thought it was a real break-in, and the cast didn't know the cops were coming.
Oh, yeah, it was like one of the, like, CIS, like Louisiana, or
something like that.
Or NCIS or something.
And no, the cast is pissed and like
they're suing like the production company.
Yeah. Because the production company wanted a real reaction of everything. But in reality, when you do stuff like that, I mean,
they would be so pissed. They did it guerrilla style. So the company didn't do any permits or anything. So
NCIS,
the guys,
New Orleans.
Yeah. They were robbing the bank and then actually had to deal with the cops.
But my question would be if I'm why didn't you get clearance on this? Like, we're CBS. Like, you couldn't get, you have people that their job would be to get, like, these locations approved. To do something guerrilla style, I'm always thinking it's like someone like back in like the early days of Kevin Smith movies. Like,
right.
I'm not going to get permission because I can't afford to get permission. But you're freaking CBS.
That's why I wondered if they wanted a reaction, a true reaction.
I wonder.
Like Rev said with Alien. Because that's the only I can think of, because you're right. It's a big company, CBS, big, you know, or I don't know if the production company is CBS themselves, but whoever, you're getting your show on CBS. You'd think you'd be able to figure that all out. So these are the movies that scare the hell out of you. Sinister and Insidious.
What about Look Who's Talking To when we realize the baby speaks?
That was scary.
That was so scary. I can't watch that night.
Terrifying.
You talked about Nightmare on Elm Street. That came in at number 12, tied with John Krasinski's A Quiet Place. Which is relatively new.
Yeah, kind of different vibes, too.
Yeah, Bird Box. I don't see Bird Box on here, unfortunately. So
that was that Netflix movie, right?
Yeah. Sorry, Sandra. You not being able to see anything is, I guess, not as scary as not being able to hear anything.
I like that movie.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't seen any of them.
I haven't seen one.
None of them are on my queue, shockingly.
Yeah. I haven't either. Sorry. Got a new study. Steve, this is close to you.
Uh-oh.
Because your child is yet to be a year old. I don't know how you're going to feel about this, but they're saying that the average kid born today, so, you know, Tater Tot fits right in there.
Okay.
She will be more tech savvy than your parents by the time she turns 10.
She's already better on a cell phone than my father.
Yeah.
Well, you laugh, but she's going to be better than you by the time she's 10, according to this.
It's trippy to see. Like, I have a ton of pictures on my phone. Like, she figured out. And granted, she's just a baby. She's just touching things. But she knows when she grabs my cell phone to instantly start swiping.
Oh, wow.
It'll swipe into camera mode.
and then I'll hit the selfie button, and then she just hits it nonstop, and like I got all these different random little selfies of like Tatum, like right there, like she'll take pictures of herself.
Isn't that crazy?
And it's pretty hilarious.
Wow, that's amazing. she's doing all that.
Yeah,
and she's not a year old.
No,
that's nuts.
She already takes a better selfie than a big man. Father.
Yeah. Well,
the big man.
Is that you?
I'm the big man.
Are you the big man?
Right now, at least.
Okay, I didn't know you were the big man.
But they're live pictures, too, so it's even funnier because it's like you just kind of finally see everything that's going on.
Yeah, that's really cool.
But I got to constantly wipe the drool off my phone because all she does is just drool.
Well, she's like her father like that.
100%.
She's like the big man.
It's like if you lose her in my house, you just gotta. She's like a little slug. You just gotta find the
oh, gross!
You just gotta find the drool on the hardwood, yeah. And you're like, oh, she went that way.
Play this back for her when she's a teenager. Baby. She'll enjoy this conversation.
Baby, I'm gonna make a children's book, and it's gonna be called The Little Slug.
The Little Slug. Yeah. Why not, man? I mean, seriously,
it's time to normalize slugs.
It really is.
All right, do it.
They're really not that terrifying. They're slow. It's not like they're gonna catch you.
That's a good point. I think people just think they're gross, not terrifying.
Well, they're not that gross, really. I mean, I think they're...
Well, it's because your daughter's now a little slug.
Yeah, a little baby slug.
Yeah.
Oh, there was already a book called Slugs.
Oh, Steve, somebody beat you to your idea.
These slugs are wearing bikinis.
Hell yeah.
Well, it's a slugini.
And Dad looks very terrified.
Yeah, well, sure. Look, I guess you're right.
There's a children's book for everything.
There sure is.
How to teach a slug to read.
There's a lot of slug children's books.
Well, the captain of the Time Bandit, Jonathan, wrote a book. He wrote a couple of kids'
books.
That's
about crabs, though.
Still, if any...
And he wrote it on Vicodin.
Here's the thing. If I told you after season 2 or 3 of The Deadliest Catch that Jonathan would write a kid's book, you'd go, are you high?
Yeah, it'd be a lot of profanity on that, right?
Yeah, exactly. So anybody can really write a kid's book because Jonathan's came out real fun.
See, Steve? Anybody can.
Why not me?
Yeah, right?
Why not you, Steve? If Jonathan can do it... Actually, I might want to see Sigs. Sigs would be a good kid's book.
I've seen Steve complain about some children's book having too many words, so I picture there being no words in his kid's books.
There'll be like 3 words tops per page.
That's fair.
I like slugs.
Slugs are cute.
Yep.
Slugs drool lots.
Yeah.
So do you.
Wow.
That's
we just wrote it. We did it.
Is it a kid's book, or is it just Steve having a normal conversation?
It'll be a pop-up, so little slugs will pop up.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. We'll make it like 4D, where the slug pops up, little slime comes at you.
I don't know what a slug is, but I'm not going to
let... Well, a slug with the slug. Let the slug fly or the slug sly.
I don't know if they have that technology for children's books.
Steve, they'll do it for you. We'll create it. We can do this.
All right. Here's the idea, publisher.
It's a pop and squirt. Sure, sell that.
Pop and squirt.
Instead of a pop-up book, you get a pop and squirt book. Excuse me? Go try to sell that as a children's book.
What the hell?
You know what? I'm just going to stick to buying books and not making them. Everybody farts book.
There you go. Well, kids are pretty smart. What we're understanding that by basically a kid born today will be smarter tech-wise than their parent by the time they're age 10.
Yeah. One person, my son's 9 months old. He loves to FaceTime.
You know, the thing is that a lot of...
Kids love technology, man. It's like whatever you're doing. So, like, I noticed that Tatum, she wants to play on my phone or play with the remote control.
Well, that's them communicating. Mm-hmm. See, scientists did not know this until recently. They really thought kids just weren't really thinking at all when they were in the age that she's at. And they're realizing now that pretty much once kids are born, their brains are working and they know stuff. And technology's kind of is proving it to us because there's a tactile way that you can see that she knows what she's doing because of the fact of what you said she does with your phone. When we didn't have phones, there was real no, you know what I mean? We didn't get to see how smart kids could be at that age.
At times, I don't know if Danny ever thought this, since you're like the closest to having like a young baby. Oh, no, Vicky as well, too. I mean, but like at times I'm like sitting there, I'm just like, man, it's a bummer that she's not going to remember this.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because like there are times where she's just having the time of her life. Like yesterday, she was having a blast. Like, just playing with random things and like giggling and smiling. It's like, this is like pure happiness. And like, you won't remember any of this. You know, it's nice that she won't remember the times that she falls on her head or, you know, cries uncontrollably over the dumbest stuff. But like, it's kind of a bummer to think like, you know, in really memory doesn't start until like what, like 2 or 3 at the earliest. Like, I think I remember my earliest memory is maybe around 4.
Yeah, mine was around 5.
Yeah.
And I think I...
So why am I even trying to do cool stuff for her at this point? Like, you know, well, she's not going to... I'm kidding.
Kind of I think you're doing it for you, actually. Because it's great because you can get to tell her stories. Because I tell Sarah and Joe stories all the time about what they don't remember.
Right. And then luckily now with technology, we have videos of so much stuff. Like, here's a cute part of you banging your head against the table.
You are farting the first time. I caught it on video.
I wonder how weird it is, though, because I never had that, to watch what is supposedly you, but you have no memory of that. Or maybe it's probably just like any time somebody blacks out when they're drinking. But you know what I mean?
Because children are like little drunk adults.
Yeah, they are.
I never had that. You know, we didn't have video, obviously, when I was young, and hardly very
many. Wouldn't it be fun to watch video of you as like a 2-year-old?
Yeah. It would be interesting. You're right. Yeah. It really would. Because pictures are one thing, but I know that I like this. They capture that one moment, but I don't know what's going on. But definitely video is a lot more, you know, contextual. And yeah, it's weird to think you could watch yourself and go, I have no memory of doing that. I bet there are adult memories, maybe even memories from 20 years ago, where I'll be like watching a video of me and I probably go, I don't remember that.
Oh, dude, it happens all the time with my high school buddies whenever they post something on like the high school Facebook page and they'll be like, remember this? And they'll tag all the people that were a part of it, including me. And I'm like, why am I being tagged in this? And I realize, crap, I was a part of this. I just don't remember one bit of it. And I don't want to be that guy because they're all reminiscing with such happiness and like joy that they're like, oh, remember when we did this? That was so cool. And I don't want to be like the guy that's like, dude, I don't remember any of this.
So really,
I'm that guy then.
So really, then it doesn't stop, does it? You're worried about Tatum not really remembering stuff now, but actually, we don't remember stuff a lot.
That's why now I just exist outside of my house because the Ring cam picks up video of everything. So I figure I'll just do that forever.
Just, honey, if we're going to have any of that kind of fun at all, we got to do it right in front of the door.
That's right, because it's capturing these things in like 10-second snippets.
Fair enough. It is time for Listeners on the Loose. You pick the topic. You guide the show. 206-421-ROCK. Text us at 77999. What do you want to talk about? We're not going to remember it in a couple of years, but what the hell?
Couple minutes.
Your calls, your texts. We got them at 917 on The Rock.
BJ and Migs. Mornings on The Rock. 99.9 KISW.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. It's Listeners on the Loose, brought to you by Spartan Plumbing. Listeners on the Loose, where you pick the topic, you guide the show at 206-421-ROCK. Text us at 77999. And when you get through, make sure you follow Steve's rules.
It's a simple rule, BJ. Show some energy and bring it. Otherwise, we're going to have to gong you and then say goodbye.
Goodbye, old friend.
206-421-ROCK. Text us at 77999.
I just want, it's a simple question, but I think it's a fun one. If you can make a rule, if you can make everyone follow one rule that you make, what is it?
Well, one rule, does that encompass my entire communication rules?
Oh, boy. That's like 30 rules
in one.
That's
a bunch of rules.
But that's one rule. That's my communication rule. How do you communicate with me?
My first one I could think of is if you put your blinker on, you're not allowed to speed up to make it so that person can't get into the next lane.
Oh, in other words, if somebody puts their blinker on in front of you or near you.
If I put my blinker on, that car behind me in the lane that I'm trying to get into, all of a sudden was doing 60 miles per hour. But once I put the blinker on, they become, you know, Bubba Wallace and they're trying to do 90 miles an hour.
Now it's a race.
And it's like, what? Are you afraid that I'm the car that's already passed you trying to get in the lane in front of you is now all of a sudden going to slow your method down? That should be a rule.
All right. I like that rule. I don't have a problem with that rule.
That's funny because mine is driving related as well.
I love that. We all hate driving.
I really do. And it's the two of us who have the longest commutes, too. But it's that you cannot use the passing lane unless you're passing, and then you immediately need to get over.
Wow.
See, that one, I don't mind if you're in a passing lane, and then if someone's coming up on me, and I'm like, all right, I should probably get over. I'm not going to, like, like punish this person because they want to go faster than me. I'm like, all right, I'll get over to the next lane. They clearly want to use this passing lane more than me.
Rev, you're a nice person.
Do you get mad at anybody, Rev, if you're not in the passing lane and they're going really, you know, they're going faster and they just zoom by? You get mad at those people, or no, is it just the people in the lane slow?
It's just the slow people.
Yeah.
They're impeding traffic. The passing lane is for passing. Like, you've got three other lanes to do whatever speed you want to do.
I think you just have to be aware of what's going on around you and be cool to people. And that includes that rule. You just got to be aware that, dude, oh, here's a guy behind me. Let me just move over.
There's so many times on the flip side where I see someone, they'll put on their blinker, and as soon as they put on, even before they finish putting on their blinker, they're already getting into the next lane while there's a car right there. And I'm like, they're just not even paying attention.
Not at all.
They think they're the only person on the freeway. It's insane.
Yeah, that's a blind spot for a reason, kids. They talk about it. Make sure. And now they have to, of course, you know, the newer cars have the blind spot little alert thing in the rear on the mirrors. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Side mirrors.
I remember when I had a rental, I was getting spoiled with that. That is a nice feature. When you don't have it and you've been driving using that for a while, you got to readjust.
Yeah. You do.
What about Vicky? Okay, you got a rule.
Mine doesn't have to do with driving.
All right, because you're a bad driver anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not following any of those rules. If you don't pick up after your dog's poo,
oh yes,
you have to live with it in your house for a week.
Oh, I agree, 100%.
Or eat it.
Yes, one of the two.
Wow.
I've had two giant turds on my yard. Mind you, like, everywhere in my neighborhood, there are signs, pick up after your dog, pick up after your dog. There's even, like, the little baggy stations. Two giant freaking turds that I stepped in.
I'm trying to remember.
That's good luck, though.
And I have a tiny yard.
Did you just say it's good luck?
That's what they say.
That's what he said.
I think if you step in it with your left foot,
what is it about poop and being good luck? If a bird poops on you, it's good luck. If you step in poop, it's good luck.
I think that's what they tell you, so you're not so angry. Do.
Yeah, exactly. I just want to accept the fact that you just got pooped on.
Yep. Yeah.
The silver lining effect, which doesn't work when it's like, no, this is really crap on my body. No, it's no silver
lining. I just love Googling poop and good luck, and it, yeah. Bird poops on you, it said to be good luck.
It's a stupid human thing.
It's a Russian superstition.
Oh, so I can blame another reason for me to blame the Russians.
Yeah, basically because of the rare odds.
Thanks, Gorbachev.
You hacked my election and everything else, and now the poop thing. I hate you, Russian peoples.
I'm with you, though. Like, in my old development, we would walk around, and some of these poops, I'm not sure if it was the dog or the person walking the dog, and you're just like, come on. And we have doggy bag stations and garbages all around the development. And you're just like, you couldn't just take 2 seconds to go grab a bag and dispose of this.
This poo was so big. My brother works for the city of Bellingham, so he's had to clean up after, you know, gross stuff. And I'm like, is this human or not? Like, and I had to have him verify that it was not. But it was huge.
These are questions you never thought your sister would ask you.
It's not the weirdest thing I've asked him.
Yeah, I got a Tupperware container. Check it out.
Ew. But, like, I don't have a thing to clean it up after, so it just sits there for a week and gets grosser.
Well, you remember the fight I had with my neighbor about the very same thing. It's like, your dog is pooping in my yard, and people don't want to take ownership of this. I don't understand it. My wife, we're having a problem in her apartment because there's a person in the floor above her. The dog can't wait to get out into the place where you go do its thing. It is urinating over the railing. And it's like,
we've done that drunk before.
Oh, yeah. Dude, you walk out and, you know, you got little walkways to get to the parking lot from where you live.
Right.
And in the walkways, there's just yellow puddles. And the problem is the apartment complex is like, you know what? We want to evict these people, but because of COVID, we can't.
Oh.
So, like, we tell them to clean it up, but they won't clean it up. There's not much they can do. They're like, our hands are tied. You know, we try to go out and clean it up as much as possible, but you know how often animals go to the bathroom.
Here's a complimentary umbrella for you whenever you leave this development.
So the woman comes to me, and I only visit every once in a while, but she comes out and I see the dog. She supposedly took it to get trained. And she goes, I just wish all you people would calm down. And I'm like, why should we calm down that you don't even come down and clean it up? If you know what's happening, why wouldn't you come down to see, oh, my dog just took a leak. Let me go see if it went down to somebody's area. And it's like, she doesn't do that, but then she wants me to calm down. And I'm like, well, I don't live here, so it's not a problem for me. I said, but I got to tell you something. You asking people to calm down because they're getting basically an R. Kelly shower every time you bring your dog out
is the dog's name R. Kelly? Because if it is, it's awesome.
It should be. But people don't seem to care that they're leaving their dog's action everywhere. I don't understand why you can't be a decent human being going, I'm sorry, I'll do my best to figure this out or clean it up.
It seems like common decency for everyone.
It's not there.
All right, Danny, you got one rule.
If you're going to send an email that says, can we talk? Or, hey, do you got a few seconds? You need to follow up within the next 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I hate it when it's like, can we talk? okay, cool, I got some time on Friday. It's like, it's Tuesday, and now I'm going to be stressed all right. week. Or, at that point, at least just put in there, it's good news.
Yeah, or nothing bad. I'll typically like, bad. I'll be like, yeah. Hey, Vicky, I got to chat with you after the show. Nothing bad.
Right.
If I, but the part right. that sucks is then the times when it is bad, and you know, like, I got to talk to you.
And they don't put that in there.
But then you know it's bad.
You know what, though? Like,
you know.
More often than not, if I've had to talk to somebody about something that's not good, I will just talk to them. Like, I'll be like, that moment, like, just yes. like just rip off the Band-Aid. Sure. Be like, hey, can I come in here and talk to you for 2 seconds? And be like, this is crappy, but this is what's up. Whereas if I send that email to schedule a meeting, I'm always scheduling things that are positive for that reason. Because it's like, it freaks you out.
Oh, yeah.
It does.
And that's one of the reasons I love you, Steve. Thank God.
That's right. Recognize.
We've trained bosses. Like. We've trained our bosses to be that way because we've had bosses that we're like, dude, you made me wait a week, and it's actually not bad news. What the hell's wrong with you?
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that one. That yes. should be a law. I like this yep. texture says the dog's name should be Bark Kelly. Bark Kelly.
I get it.
I like that.
Yeah. So it says I agree on the, hey, can we talk? My boss just did that to me, and I feel like I'm in trouble, LOL. Yeah. You know, it tells me, I'm like, what did I do wrong? And I know I didn't do anything wrong, so now I'm creating in my head scenarios that could have been wrong from like 10 years ago. I'm like, well, the time 10 years ago I did...
Like, it's like the anxiety of going to the airport and thinking, did I bring a gun with me? Wait, I don't own a gun, but what if I brought one with me?
Right. Or like a cop gets behind you, like, am I driving drunk? Wait, I haven't had a drink in like 5 days. Like, what am I talking about?
Or you go to the grocery store and you don't buy anything. You're like, oh my God, what if they stop me because they think I'm stealing? It's yep. like, and they find something on me. I didn't take anything.
That happened to me. I went to Lowe's to get a certain, like a screw for something because I didn't have enough. And I brought the other screw to match it. And I pull it out of my pocket. I'm like, crap, they're going to think I stole this. Should I pay for this even though I brought it with me?
Hey, Jimmy, it's the screw thief. He's right? back.
I'm like, I brought this screw with me. I wouldn't steal this 69-cent screw. I
nice.
Well, whenever I do anything where I bring anything to the store for reference, I like prominently display it.
Right.
I brought it in. I'm walking in with it.
Check
You're
your
seeing
surveillance.
This.
Check your surveillance.
Look, it's right here in my hand.
And you don't look like a fool at all doing
no.
that. People are going, okay, miss, congratulations. You have an item in your hand.
Thank God for masks. I feel less dumb.
Yeah. Yeah, masks actually do make you feel better about being an idiot.
Yeah, so I just want to real quick, we talk about dogs. He said, Steve, can I get a shout out for my dog? He's a German shepherd named Rainer, and his favorite hobby is being a good boy. Thanks Aww. From Devon.
Give it out a shout.
All right. His favorite hobby is being a good boy.
Rainer, shout out.
All right.
Dog shout out. I like this.
I hope he's listening.
Yeah. Does Rainer, you think Rainer knows?
I don't know, but he said, no, can you just do it just to piss BJ off?
I should say, I wonder about
actually
that smile.
Surprised. I give you credit.
I'm trying my best.
I thought that was going to make you very angry.
Oh, it is. No, I'm angry inside. I'm just really doing a better job of being nice to you because I know some people like their stupid animals.
Well, you know, so, Rainer.
Yeah.
Rainer, you're a good boy.
Yeah. Good boy.
Good job.
Or just do it in dog. Woof, 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 woof.
Why are you encouraging Danny? He's a moron.
No, we're just trying to make you mad.
Oh, man. It's Tuesday. Let him bark.
It's Tuesday. Oh, it's Tuesday.
Tuesday
is moron day. Is that what it is?
Okay. I didn't know. All right.
Tuesday.
Please show me on the calendar where it says every Tuesday, morons get to be morons. And you,
it's Tuesday. Let the man bark if he wants to bark.
Thank you, Steve.
Let the man bark. It's Tuesday. I didn't know Tuesday was crazy day.
Who's a good boy, Rainer?
Yeah, who's a good boy, Danny? You pick the topic. You guide the show. It's Listeners on the Loose. 206-421-ROCK. Text us at 77999. Or if you call, it's your text. And no more doggy shout-outs at 933.
Is that how you do it?
BJ and Migs. Mornings on The Rock. 99.9 KISW.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. It's Listeners on the Loose. You pick the topic. You guide the show. 206-421-ROCK. Text us at 77999.
So it said, Steve, did you see that your favorite cinema manum?
What? Is that cinnamon?
Cinema masterpiece just got canceled.
What's this?
Oh, no. Away. I did not. And I got to Google it. And apparently Netflix, after one season, canceled.
I don't think, you were the
Hillary Swank show. Away.
You were the only one I heard talking about it.
I heard a lot of textures suggested. That's the only reason why I checked it out.
Really? Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, I wasn't hearing a lot of buzz about it then besides you. I guess my friend group didn't, you know, my friend group is into serious, like really hardcore sci-fi, so maybe that's why this was a little too pedestrian for them.
It's interesting because apparently it spent several weeks in the top 10 Nielsen streaming viewership rankings. Came in at number 2 in its first week.
So then why would they cancel it? I mean,
maybe money.
That's nuts. I mean, even Lost in Space gets 3 seasons, and I'm surprised they didn't give it another one if it was in the top streams.
Thanks, COVID.
Wow.
I'm actually fine with that. One season was enough for me.
Yeah, but did they leave it unresolved? No,
she's in Mars. Yeah, they could come back maybe in like 10 years and just like be like up back from Mars.
At least they gave you a story arc wrap-up.
Yeah.
Some shows are smart enough to do that, you know, because they don't know if they're going to get another season. So they wrap up one story arc at least, and then maybe they'll start another one, which isn't too bad. Mm-hmm. You know, but the ones that leave like a cliffhanger where you go, oh, come on, really?
Yeah, you're just like, oh, this sucks. Now I'll never know what happened to them.
Yeah.
Well, she's stuck in space. Sorry, kid.
So how much is this really hurting you?
None at all.
I didn't think so.
No, it's one less show I have to worry about.
I don't see that's when you know you're really slave to TV.
Oh, I'm not. I don't care. I mean, honestly, if it's not two men oiled up grappling, I don't really care what's on television. It's like that's my that or a Money Heist. Like that's all I care about right now is for the return of Money Heist. So this damn pandemic's better end soon so they can finish wrapping up season 5.
I keep forgetting Money Heist like with my wife. I got to give it a try at some point, but we just have a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I hope you like it. I mean, I definitely have hyped it up quite a bit.
Yeah,
so
you have.
It could be a giant letdown, but you know, for me, it's the greatest television show ever created. No hype.
No, not at all.
Not at all.
Yeah. That's amazing. Has anybody else watched Money Heist on this show?
Nope. No one wants to watch it. That's fine.
That's amazing.
You guys are all missing out. But people who texted, I mean, there's some people that don't like it because it's subtitled, or you either watch it subtitled or you watch the overdubs. I watch the overdubs because I don't like reading. and that was the way they presented it to us on Netflix. Like, I had no idea it was overdubbed until like 5 minutes into the show. I'm like, why aren't their voices matching? And I realized, oh crap, they're not speaking English. They've overdubbed it. But yeah. I just love the show from beginning to end. The season finale, it was like season three. The last episode of season three was one of the greatest television episodes I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, see, so there's three seasons already.
There's already four. They're waiting to finish their fifth season. And the show started, a huge hit in Spain.
Wow.
And the first season was great. Second season, the ratings went down. They canceled it. But there was this uproar about this show and like a true cult following of this show to the point where Netflix paid attention. Like, screw it. Let's buy the rights. They bought the rights. And then they hit up the actors and say, hey, would you like any producers and all those people? They made a whole documentary about it, about do you want to bring back the show? And they're all like, yes, absolutely. We want to finish this. And they're going to finish it. Season 5 is the final season.
Oh, okay.
So that's all I'm waiting for now is the final season to happen. But it's one of the most – I think you would love this show. It's a – The main character, the professor, is just a genius, but he's like a diabolical genius, and it's so much fun to watch his brain work. It's a giant game of chess in this television show.
All right, you know what? At some point, because I want to watch it with my wife.
I mean, it's like no Hubie Halloween. But
oh, all right. Well, if it's no
missing out, man.
Yeah, if it's not Hubie
Halloween, look, 93% on the critics.
I still have to say that I can't tell her you picked this show. That's the only thing. I just have to wait until she likes it. Then I'll tell her.
And there's some smoke shows on this show.
So oh, all right.
Well. Pretty Woman.
Pretty Woman.
Tokyo. It's what's up.
Oh, Tokyo? That's her name?
Yep.
Okay.
They have to like countries and things. They don't know each other's identity. That was all
part
of a group of like criminals that are brought together for a giant heist.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like this.
It's good stuff.
I mean, it does sound, you know, the only thing to get over is like obviously the subtitle or the overdubbing. However, we'll have to see how my wife wants to consume it.
Well, if you're like my wife and you're playing on your phone, like it'll take like a couple episodes before you realize, like, because she's like, she's watching and then she got hooked.
Yeah.
But at first, she wasn't even really paying attention to like the dialogue because sometimes your TV doesn't fully match with you know, sometimes that happens with yours. So we just kind of chalked it up to that. But then finally, she was like, what the hell's going on with this show? And I'm like, you notice it when they're yelling more than anything.
Yeah.
But otherwise, once you get into the rhythm of it, you don't even notice it.
I got no problem with that. I've watched dub stuff before. You know, not a problem.
I feel like my mom would like this, so I'm going to have to watch it with her now that she's living with me.
Oh, Vicky, let me know. Because, I mean, you know me too. So you'll know, and you know Kathy. The thing is that it will, can I get my wife on board with this?
Well, if I'm watching it with my mom, I'm watching it in Spanish. Like Spanish. No.
Well,
problem.
I mean, like, see, I'm jealous that you'll get to do that because you'll hear their real voices.
And I feel like real voices are always better, I think.
Yeah. I would say so. It's tough to be a voice actor. I see that in a lot of shows I'll watch. I'll just watch and go, oh, look at all the credits for all the voice actors who have dubbed this in other languages. Yeah. So, it's, you know.
I don't love them giving this show. They should put me on as like an overdubbed voice person.
Right?
For like a character.
Oh, really?
Like an extra that just coughs.
Okay. An extra that coughs. Okay. Yeah. I think you can do that.
Yeah.
All right. That's you. You can make that happen.
Wow. All right.
Look at that. Wow. How do you not have jobs already?
You know, you would think.
I mean, the cougher guy. Just the guy in the background. You know, you need that every you walk into a room or there's a crowd of people. There's a church scene. There's always going to be the cough guy.
So we want to know what Sarah's rule is going to be. Earlier this during Listeners on the Loose, we were asking people what would be your rule that everyone should follow if you were able to make a law. Of course, somebody joked about it being no condoms, but I won't read that.
There we go. Thanks, Dexter. You're just a delight.
Not reading that, yeah.
While
yeah.
she's in the room.
You sure it's not the cuddle guy that's trying to offer $200 an hour to cuddle with her? It's just trying to find another way to connect with her? That they really don't want to, they don't care what she has to say, just trying to get her to cuddle? All right, Sarah.
I was really racking my brain on this one. Joey said something should happen to everyone if they don't tell me the truth.
Which, oh, right.
Yeah. Why?
Yeah.
Because I am a truth seeker, Steve. Okay. Yeah. So I was like, I don't know what would happen to them. It could be like Pinocchio and their nose grows, or maybe they get like a limb chopped off or something.
That's not aggressive at all.
No. But then the other one, when Vicky was talking about dogs and their dog poop, my boyfriend and I have been playing a lot of disc golf, and it drives me crazy when people have their dog off the leash, especially at a park where there's an off-leash area.
Yep.
So then I was thinking something should happen to that owner if you have your dog off.
Gosh, you're 100%, 100%
they have to wear a leash.
Oh, I love that.
And their dog walks them.
Yep.
I want to walk them.
Okay, you can walk them.
Okay.
I've seen videos of that.
Is this just... Now, Luther Burbank Park is on Mercer Island, and I have made a story up about these people that are on Mercer Island that they just feel like, I don't have to follow any rules because I'm Mercer Island rich. Or is this happening in every dog park?
Every dog park, dude.
Okay,
it doesn't matter where I go.
I'm happy to hear that because I just get frustrated.
Everywhere I go, there's always one or two people that just decide that, oh, my dog is harmless.
It's special, yeah, or it's so tiny that it won't hurt you.
Right.
Dude, I want to drop kick that dog. I really do.
But it's not the dog's fault.
Drop kick the owner. I can support that.
The dog's just doing what the dog does.
It's running up at you. It's jumping on you. It's like trying to catch the frisbees in their mouth and stuff. You know?
That is a bad recipe for disaster.
And by the way,
frisbee golf and dogs love frisbees.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, yeah, right?
And those discs are not cheap. It's not like a regular Whammo frisbee. I mean, so if a dog chews on that, you're pissing off the disc golfer.
I'm surprised that Sarah's playing frisbee golf.
You know, my boyfriend's really into it, so I'm trying to be supportive and go along with him, and he likes to teach me, and I'm watching the videos. I'm so bad, though. I swear, like, half of disc golf is just trying to search for your disc that you lose.
You should do my buddy Cooper. He has got bright pink discs. That's all he plays with.
Oh, I really,
he's like, the reason why is that you can always find them.
You can actually kind of see them, but I'm so bad, and, like, we go to disc golf courses that have, like, ravines, so if you shoot it off...
It's gone.
It does, and then I feel really bad. Because I've lost a few, and they're not cheap, so...
Yeah, that's tough.
I know.
So do you like it?
I do like it. I don't think I'm really going to get any better at it, but J-Rubs is so into it. He's watching all the competitions. Like, he'll watch hours and hours of people just playing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm working on it, but it's not something I would
just
do on my own.
You're a good girlfriend, because it's not your bag. But I love J-Rubs because when he gets into something, he gets into it.
Well, that's cool. You got something to do with him. I mean, like, that's like a fun activity. You're outside. You're walking around. So
yeah, it's kind of like a little hike. It gets him outside, too. And we have a little basket in our backyard now. So
yeah, we do.
Go out there.
And we have the fake grass, so it's like a putting green.
It's perfect.
Yeah. See that? He didn't know he was moving into a disc golf setup like we have.
Yeah, he actually taught BJ, and BJ was pretty good.
I can putt. I don't think I can do the long shots are going to be a problem.
You don't know until you try. You should go out disc golfing. Good father-son-in-law.
Good father-son-in-law. Why did you already put that there?
Well, because it's going to happen, dude. You know it.
Yes, wow. It better.
And this will be a good opportunity. Whenever time comes and he wants to ask the question to you, he could do it while you guys are doing a round of disc golf.
Yeah.
Aww.
That's a great idea. I'll be sure to ignore it.
You would be so bad at shooting far, though.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah.
You have no upper body strength.
None.
It would go nowhere.
He's got good strength in his wrist, I bet.
Why are you making that motion?
That's the fling of the...
Why are you giving me the McBride? Why are you doing that?
I don't know what the McBride is. I'm just doing
Danny McBride's the Danny McBride motion where you're just basically throwing dice.
No.
Yeah, you give me the Danny McBride motion.
I'm saying that you could flick a frisbee. Yeah.
It really looks like you're McBriding me. Looks like you're basically throwing some dice.
I don't know. Playing some Yahtzee. That's what it looks like.
Yeah. Okay, I don't know if you have to go like do a full like upper body workout to throw a disc.
You do. You need to... Have you ever played disc golf?
Yes.
And?
I was sucked at it, but I was able to throw a frisbee.
That's because you got more upper body strength than I do. I mean,
you're like a drummer, man.
We're talking about a guy who falls or like trips and hurts himself. Can you imagine how bad he would throw himself out trying to throw a long frisbee?
Danny's right. Danny is absolutely right.
Well, I just think, you know, like,
you want me to get hurt? Is that why?
No, I just want to see you try disc golf with your future son-in-law.
Now we got to take videos for Steve?
Is
yes.
That
yes, absolutely.
Let's go down a loop.
I really feel like I'm the subject of a joke at this point.
Well, that's on you. I'm not doing that.
Oh, no, not at all.
Well, like, I thought, like, when I went to go throw axes, I thought I was going to have to put all my muscle into that. And it's like, it has nothing to do with that.
Oh, really? What is it with axes?
It's just form. It's like, you're not even throwing it very hard. I mean, obviously, you have to throw it hard enough to get to the target, but the target's not like, but it's more about the form than anything. And I bet if you learn proper form, you could probably throw a disc decent distance.
Really? What do you think, Sarah?
I would bet that I can throw farther than you can, Dash.
Well, maybe Steve's right. Maybe if I practice. But then I probably...
Even with good form, I don't think
what
you
is
could.
That injury that baseball players get when you go side to side too much? It's a beating of an injury, and I don't want to get that. Like when they swing the bat, they get a massive injury by swinging the bat.
You would know better than me. I have no idea.
I can't remember
the
name.
Oblique?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's an oblique injury. I do not want one of those because those are painful. And I think that I would probably get an oblique injury trying to go too hard.
What's like the distance, like a typical distance for a disc golf toss? Like to get like, you know, like.
Isn't it like yard, like hundreds of yards?
Well, usually like holes can be like up to like 1,000 feet, but then I can do about like 100 feet, like throw it. My boyfriend can do probably 300, 400 feet. Just throwing it. Yeah. And I'm using all my
might. You don't have to get a hole in one. You could maybe even get 50 feet, man. Like, yeah, that's a couple stars.
I'm probably going to do 25 feet.
Yeah.
If I know me, I'm going to be that guy. So, you know, everything's going to be a par 4. It needs to be like a par 8 for me.
Even when you were putting, you were getting sore. You're like, oh, I feel this in my elbow.
I did. I felt like, oh, rotator cuff. Oh, I got an elbow injury here.
I'll have to get you some of that Be Jolly, the CBD cream, man. I'll help you with your joints.
Okay.
Shout out to our buddy Brett.
Why are you trying to get me active? I really don't want to do any of this.
All right, then don't do anything. Watch Star Trek and just, you know.
Be lame.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, thanks, guys.
Damn, ganging up. Go ahead
with your sore elbows. Yeah, I'm just, you know, I mean, anyway. Hey, I think it's time to ask Ryan Castle something. Or at least talk about him anyway. Here's a question. What do Ryan Castle and a raccoon have in common? I'm going to tell you at 9:50 on The Rock.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW. And now, the Ryan Castle question of the day.
What do Ryan Castle and a raccoon have in common?
I mostly eat garbage.
Well, I know.
We get some high-end steak together.
Yeah, I mean, you have good garbage, though. Okay, well, he's...
Garbage in, garbage out.
Garbage in, garbage out.
So it says they both have the nickname Trash Panda.
Yeah. A lot of people don't know that's what I call Ryan.
And both like to eat Steve's trash at 3 in the morning.
Ah, TP. That's what I actually, I just shortened it with the initials. That's TP. He likes to do that kind of thing. We got a 38-year-old guy. He lives in a mobile home in Benton County, Washington. Hey, that's here. That's in our fine state. And on Sunday morning, he got upset at a family of raccoons who were living under his trailer. I can't blame him. So he went to scare them away, but somehow in the process, he knocked over a lit candle and set his entire trailer on fire. Fortunately, nobody was hurt, but obviously his trailer gone. Don't know about the raccoons, though, if they decided, hey, great, now we have, you know, open space in our place where we're living. Yeah, that's Benton County, ladies and gentlemen.
Right.
Ryan Castle, he's up next. He's got a 12-pack.
BJ and Migs, play of the day.
Hearts, all I want to do is make love to you. And
all I want to do is make love. I don't know if that's it.
I don't know that song.
Can find it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do know it. That's love to you.
Okay, good. Yeah. No, Ann Trilly, the singer.
Singing.
And singing
all
also.
I want to do is
I mean, look,
love
you're not even,
you
can't even be Nancy at this point. You know what? You're not even Luke Wilson on this one. I mean, really, you gotta.
Let's work.
DJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Travis Gagne, bankruptcy attorney. He's here right now and has agreed to answer more of your questions about bankruptcy. If I call Travis, will I actually see him or someone who works for him?
Absolutely. When you come in to see my office, when you first call in, my staff will try to help you with any basic questions that you have. I can give you a call back, but they'll schedule you for a free consultation with me, the attorney. and I'll meet with you personally. We'll talk about the basics of your case, and I'll take you through a question and answer session that usually an interview that usually lasts about 30 minutes. We'll get the basics of your financial situation. I can answer your questions, and we can talk about whether bankruptcy makes sense, your non-bankruptcy options, and how bankruptcy could affect you, what the process is.
Thanks, Travis. If you have more questions about bankruptcy, you can reach out to Travis anytime at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.